you'll agree with me in prayer, we're going to run to Jesus, because without him, I'm going to do it right. So, Lord, I just want to submit to you this morning that you have a plan, and your incredible plan is to take us higher, and we don't understand sometimes, and we do question, like somebody we know. Amen? And amen. So let your kingdom come and your will be done in us and in this house of prayer and in all the saints that have connected to us, even those on the internet, to bless them and to release grace to them. Amen? I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, and I'd like to preface that with recognizing that there are no accidents with God. Sometimes we think everything is falling apart. And we look at the circumstances, we look at charts. And if you would have looked at our Lord's chart, he started off with 12, went to 70, then they got into the hundreds, and then into the thousands, and then several thousands, and then all of a sudden back down to 3. They were on the mountain, and Jesus was not alone. The saints were there. And a kingdom was established. And I'd like to take you to his birth, because it was prophesied in Isaiah, with verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and I'm in the Amplified, Prince of Peace, Luke 2, and it's confirmed over and over in Ephesians 5, Hebrews 1, Matthew 28, etc. And then verse 7 is the concentration I really kind of want to emphasize to you. Of the increase of his government, of peace, that there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from the latter times forth, even forevermore. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, that's an awful lot of words out of one little verse. But I'd like you to realize that when you look at the newspapers and you listen to the news, you're going to go up and down like a yo-yo. And your emotions are going to go riding everywhere. Because you're going to be focused on what is happening in the natural. And how many know the natural is very temporary? Yeah. Notice again, it says, of the increase of his government, verse 7, of peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, and from the latter times forth, even forevermore. Now, when I recognize that I listen to programs, I listen to pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles, etc., and they all have a different opinion. And that's scary. Because there's no stability and no focus on the real truth. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I had a gentleman call me yesterday morning, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he's got a very prominent man that would be recognized if I was to speak his name. And in that dream, this man is actually forecasting the news of the weather. He's on a TV network, He's got all the paraphernalia for the weatherman. And he says, Tim, I don't understand. He says, why would this mighty man of God be giving the news, the weather? And, I mean, at first I was puzzled and I said, I don't know. So I began to pray in the Spirit. And all I got was, a weatherman uses all natural responses and natural tools to bring out what is going to happen tomorrow. Yes or no? How are you going to forecast when Jesus is returning by natural responses? It's not going to happen. So I said, well, this particular person is actually, to me, releasing information from natural understanding and natural circumstances. The results, obviously, will be what? What? Fear? What else? Well, if there's a tornado heading in your direction, what are you going to do? Turmoil. So if you're listening to this prominent man of God, and you're focused on this man of God's worldly wisdom, you're going to get what? Yeah, it's not God. I happened to watch this morning, 5 minutes, I went to one station that used to have a program that I used to like when I would have my breakfast on Sunday morning. Well, that has been canceled, and there's a new evangelist on there, or pastor. I don't know what his title is, so I'm not going to give him a name or a title. I'm not going to tell you the network where. But he's jumping up and down, and he is so excited about the potential for healing. And I thought, oh, God. And he is on fire, if you wish. But I said, Lord, I can't listen to this. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. I had no peace. I was going to get all worked up. For what? Yeah. And that was another forecast of, you know, if you listen to this man and the excitement in him, and I'm not critical of this man. I mean, he may have been trained and he's probably doing a great job, and I'm not criticizing the guy that's using the weatherman. You understand? I am not against anybody. I'm just trying to wake up and get you to see what the Word says. If I can get you to rely on the Word of God and trust in Him, the rest will fall into place. And you won't be so bent out of shape that you wonder, my God, what are we coming to? What are we coming to? I mean, if we listen to the array of news, scary. Now, does it say that his kingdom's going to fall apart here? No. It also says the increase. Now, that's very important. The increase will what? Waver? No. It's going to what? It's going to go forward. Amen? And it's not going to be done by might of many people advertising how awesome our God is. It's going to be done by the zeal of the Lord of hosts, and He's going to perform it. So, if He's the performer of all this stuff, what are you doing getting bent out of shape over the bulletin on the news? What are you doing? You're going to get anxious? You're going to get upset? You're going to want to control your own future and try to protect yourself. Do I get any amen? I remember 1987. A man of God began to advertise that the end of the world was coming in 1988. And this person went out and bought groceries. Water. Canned goods. All kinds of dry goods. and even had a list and brought this list to me that these are the things that last the longest. And how to store them in containers that were right. And every time they went shopping, they would add to it. Where do you think it went? So much for revelation knowledge given by man. And so much for the precautions of man, because that money could have been used for other things that would have brought the Lord some glory. Instead, they packed up their cellar and other storage areas, and eventually it all went to the dump. Marvelous concept. I remember Pastor Gino used to say, there was a sign at Pinecrest, occupy till I come. What does occupy mean? Do your work. Do what you got to do. Take care of the neighborhood. Bless those that need blessings. Maybe if you go and buy a couple extra bottles or soda or whatever, give it to the poor. Okay? Don't wait till it's no more good. Okay? If you got a couple extra cans of whatever, give it to those that have a need. Okay? I was down to the shelter and I brought some clothes the other day. And they're having a graduation and I'm excited because that's a place where the finances are blessing right away. I mean, there's men that are come back to life. They're back to work. They're not on drugs. They're not on alcohol. They're not on all these substances. And now they're being restored, and their families are being restored. And they're graduating after a commitment of several years. And they're back on the job, producing for the kingdom of our God. That's where you should put some money. Not in the closet. Okay? Not in the closet. It's not going to do you any good in the closet. It'll just get old. Whatever it is that you're trying to store and save, it's going to get old. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 15. Because that's where we were on Tuesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when I heard this morning, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to duplicate. And the Lord said, no, it's not going to be duplicated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 25. Well, verse 24. Got to back it up a little bit. After that comes the end, the completion, when he delivers over the kingdom to God, the Father, after rendering inoperative and abolishing every other rule and every authority and power. For Christ must be king and reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So who's operating this kingdom? The one above. Now I'm going to trick you. So I'm warning you ahead as we go forward. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. That's what the scripture says. Verse 27. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is expected. Who does the subjecting of all things to him. However, when everything is subjected to him, the Son, and it says S-O-N, himself, will also subject himself to who put all things under him, so that God may be all in all. Now that looks like a real tongue twister, doesn't it? Did you realize there's two sons? Jesus is the first fruit of what? He's the first fruit of what? Many what? Brethren. He's the first Son of God. Visible in the earth, bringing freedom and deliverance. Where's the next one? Us! The many-fold body of believers is also a son. And so it becomes a tongue twister when you read that and you say, oh my God, this is weird. Now the first son had victory, yes? And he relied on whom to perform the victory? The Father. And the Holy Ghost. Right or wrong? I mean, when he was as dead as a doornail in his body, could he raise himself out of the ground? No. If you want to see a good look at the church, take a good look at Lazarus. Yeah. Could he get himself out of the ground? Could his sisters pull him out? Oh, they did. But he stunk. Yeah. Now, what I'm getting at is the same procedure, the same Holy Spirit who pulled Jesus out of that grave and rose him from the dead is going to take the church and he's going to what? Infuse her with what? Power from on high. And he will raise her out of what? Death into life. Now, you say, how is this going to happen? When you get united, when you get with one mind, when you get with one unified purpose. And I could go around and I could say, well, you're going in your direction, you're going in your direction, she's going in that direction, the other one's going in that direction. Never is going to work. It's not going to happen. Tuesday night, the group went into the anointing of the Lord. The power of God came. Every individual in that living room was under the anointing except one. Every individual got blessed except one. There was one sitting on the edge of the seat and watched everything that went on. Could not enter the realm of peace, but was frustrated, angry, and bitter. And it was visible. Then the same individual insulted another individual who simply asked a very simple question. Why? Fear. Jealousy and fear. Probably a few other forces. The bottom line was, there was no unity. And so, later on, when I spoke to the leaders, when we were alone, I said, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Either God's going to let the fire burn all the garbage in this individual, and there's some fear, and there's some of the other forces that are pushing buttons on this person and hurting this person. And so our job is to intercede so that they can get free. Our job is to pray that that person will find freedom. I learned later that there was humble pie that came. They were able to speak about how they had done wrong, were willing to humble themselves and be back into the fold and become one with the rest of the body. And so now there's a good possibility of healing and restoration. Because the purpose of the hearts were united except for one. And it was visible. And it was offensive. Now, that was an example to me as well. Because when you and I don't have the same goal to look together, to work together as a team, God cannot do that next level of miracles that he wants. But he wants those miracles to come alive in all of us. And yes, we are going to question. Yes, we're going to ask all kinds of things. We're going to do the best of our ability. But the most important thing that I believe God was trying to teach me is pray that these will become teachable. Pray that they will come with one harmony together as one unit before God. And yes, the procedure of growth is all together up to the individual as the Lord releases that grace. When the Lord releases that grace, the maturity starts to form. And that's what I saw. Because the end result was this person was now choosing to go forward with the rest of the group. And the fear had been put to rest. And the questions were real, but the questions were also being answered by the grace that had been received and operated on. See, you can receive grace and you can still go on your own way. But you can also receive grace and say, okay, God, how do you want me to use it? How do I conform to your image out of this? How do I let God become our whole purpose in my connections with my brothers and my sisters? And I didn't know how this was going to work today because, see, I knew this was a message, but now you watched one particular individual give words of knowledge to how many individuals this morning, and I was off the job, and I love it. Because the words of knowledge were on target for every single individual. Amen? Now, how do we get every individual to get into the realm of the Spirit, to receive from the Lord, so that they can give out? Amen? Now, you say, well, does that happen every single week? No, but you could be next week. If you don't have an inquisitive heart, if you don't have questions from the Lord, how come? You know, I mean, why should it be just one or two or more that are giving and not everyone giving? Okay? Every single one of you is on a job in a different place. Every one of you. You are all representative of the Holy Spirit. You all have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have words of knowledge to be given out to your workers, people that you are actually employed by. Okay? You are intercessors for what? For the body of Christ. You are individuals that will give out words that will bring life to those that are dying. And it doesn't matter if you're on the computer, if you're on the telephone. Please obey the Lord. Don't fall into fear. Occupy till he comes. Where is he coming? Inside of us, with power to release what? Freedom and grace and healing and resurrection to those that are dying. That's the bottom line. See, and when we get this truth inside of our hearts, we're going to be excited because every day, no matter what, we're going to watch God operating in us and in our friends and in those that we love. Our families are going to be changed. Yes, we are going to be an irritation. How many know sometimes when you speak a word, you can be an irritation? And it does shake the dust. Amen? Okay. And that's all right. Shaking the dust is good. Now, go to verse 28 again. I want to read that one very slowly. However, when everything is subjected to him, the Son himself will also subject himself to the Father, who puts all things under him, so that God may be all in all. That is, be everything to everyone, supreme. The indwelling and controlling factor of life. Otherwise, what do people mean by being themselves baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And that's a controversial question. In that day, they had this procedure going on. Intercession for those that are gone on the other side. Well, I can't do that. No, not unless God speaks. If God speaks for you to intercede for someone who's already gone on the other side, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go by your brains? or are you going to go by what God says to do? Am I going to do what God says? Yes! If Paul is telling these people in Corinth this message, it's because it's relevant. It is relevant to be obedient to whatever he's asked you to do. You see, it's not with me that you have a problem. It's not with your neighbor that you have a problem. It's with his word. He said it was being done because there was people of faith believing that even though these had not had an opportunity, God was able to touch even them on the other side. Now that takes you out of your religious realm and it puts you right into God's word. What are you going to do with it? Yeah. What are you going to do with it? I remember the first time I read that, I was all bent out of shape because it actually irritated my religious brain. Now, I know you guys never had a religious brain, but I had a big one. And I had to... Well, we won't go there because we're going to be in trouble. Okay? Big trouble. I don't want to go there. I want you to go to Colossians. Okay? Colossians. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 16. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. Did you hear that? So that he alone is in everything and in every respect might occupy. It's not a broken record. Occupy the chief place. Stand first and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers and attributes should be or should dwell in him part-time. Permanently. Oh, we need to adjust, huh? See, I can remember being one person on the job. I can be one person at home and another person in church. Is that what Jesus was? Oh, so I got some adjusting to do. Yeah. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to occupy through me. Permanently. With the fullness of your power, spirit, soul, and body, in total obedience, until I fit in to your perfect plan for me. I don't want you to stop, Lord. Keep pressing me forward. I want the body of Christ Jesus to be the same in the earth today as it was 2,000 years ago. Bless those who hurt me, Lord. Set them free. And give me the grace to occupy till you come. So, how do we go forward from here? One step at a time. Be obedient. Share some love with each other.